When we go through times of derailment, we need to ask God to lead us. We need to ask God to guide us. Lord, I got this bill that I got to pay. I have no earthly idea where this money is coming from. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Lord, I'm dealing with relationships with a bunch of knuckleheads. Lord, lead me. Lead me. I like the song. Lead me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me by thy powerful hand. We got to pray. God, lead me. Lord, lead me down the plain path. Lord, I'm looking. My enemies are all around. Lord, I'm in the middle of this maze. Lead me, Lord, down the plain path.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of What to Do When Life Derails You from Psalms 27. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of What to Do When Life Derails You.
In his pavilion. And they're going to have to go through a whole lot to get to you. But then notice, he gives us another metaphor. He says, he shall what? Hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, we had the tabernacle, we had the outer court, we had the inner court, and we had the Holy of Holies. And if you went into the Holy of Holies, you know, when people tried to go into the Holy of Holies, what happened to them? God killed them. You just don't walk up into the Holy of Holies. You just can't get in there. But God said that if you are desiring me and that you are walking after me in the time of trouble, what's he going to do? I'm going to hide you in the secret place. Where? In the tabernacle. I'm going to hide you in a place that nobody can come and nobody can get to you. Oh, yeah, the people around you, they might laugh at you, they might mock you, they might try to harm you, but they can only do what I will let them to do. That I'm going to put my protection around you. I'm going to put you in the secret place of the tabernacle. And then then he's going to do what? Set me on a rock. This is Masada right there. Those of you who are archaeologists, Masada is that rock where many kings went up to the top. And they built their kingdoms up there because it was a place that was inaccessible. It was impenetrable. And the psalmist said is that he's going to put me on a rock up there where nobody else can get to me. And then he said in verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Round about me. What does that mean? When your enemies are winning, your head is down. You're discouraged. You're looking for answers, and your enemy has your head down. But what did he say? He said that my head is going to be what? Lifted above my enemies. And on the slide, we see here that not only will our head be lifted above our enemies, but they'll actually bow down before us. That our enemies will bow before us. Now, we might not be able to see that right away, but sometimes we have to walk by faith and just say, God, you are going to lift my head up, and you are going to allow my enemies to bow their heads down. That's the care that we have in the midst of a derailment. And then we move on to the next point, and we see what is the cry from the heart in the midst of a derailment. What is the cry? What are things that we should cry out from our heart? That, you know, sometimes when you're going through a difficult time, you can't think, you can't talk. The only thing you can do is cry. That's the only thing. You ever been around somebody and all they could do was just cry? Well, that's what the psalmist said. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, he says, "Hear me, O Lord, when I what? When I cry with my voice." So notice the things that he cries out to the Lord. The next time you have a problem, the next time your life is derailed, here goes your prayer right here. Say, "I don't know how much more I can help." You know, as a pastor, you know, I stand up here on Sunday and preach, you know, to help you be able to make it through your difficult times. Here goes your prayer right here. What am I going to pray? Well, let me, you know, we praise God for the prayer ministry and call the prayer ministry and get your prayer requests in. But you can pray for yourself too. Here goes your prayer. David gives you a tailor-made prayer to pray whenever you go through a hard time. You need to write this in the flyleaf of your Bible. First, he said, "Lord, hear me. Lord, I'm going through a difficult situation. Lord, hear me." And you know, when he says "hear me," he's just not talking about "hear me with your ear." You know, in the Bible, you know, it said that when Noah cried out after the flood, that God heard him and did what? He stopped, dried up the water. So when you pray for God to hear you, what you're actually praying is for God to do something. God, move in this situation. I don't know how it's going to end, but God, move in this situation. And then, Lord, when I pray to you, don't hide your face from me. Verse 8. Don't hide your face from me, Lord. When thou said, "Seek my face," my heart said unto thee, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in thy anger." So again, God's face is his presence. And so when you pray for the Lord to his face, you are saying, "Lord, let me enter into your presence. Lord, let me come into your very throne room. And Lord, when I pray, because Lord, you told me to seek your face. You said, Lord, seek your face. Not seek the liquor bottle. Not seek the drug. Not seek the relationship. Not seek the person, the ungodly person who's going to give you. Lord, you said when I get in trouble to seek your face." Where do you run to when trouble comes? Who do you lean on when the storms of life are raging? Where do you go in the time of trouble? Hey, you better go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I stand by the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. The Lord said, when you come to a difficult time, when you come to a time when you're having a problem, seek my face, come into my presence. And David said, "Lord, when I come into your face, don't turn your face from me." And it seems, as we read the verse, the only way that God might turn his face is if there's something in your life that he can't look on. It says, don't turn away in anger. Well, why would God be angry? The reason that God would be angry is because your life is not what it's supposed to be. There's something in your life that's not right. And so when you cry out to God and God goes, you need to begin to examine yourself. You need to begin to see What is in my life that is causing God to turn his face from me? Especially when he tells me to seek his face. Lord, don't hide your face from me. And then he says, Lord, receive me. Lord, look. Oh, man, I'm trying to finish up here. Verse 9. Verse 8, when thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Lord, you have been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, you know, there's some controversy as to what he's saying here. You know, somebody's saying, is he literally saying that, you know, when father and mother, you know, forsake him? Well, you know, that's one thought. Another one is, and I like this one, he's talking about what's the closest relationships that we should have, you know, growing up. And it should be mother and father. And so he's trying to say that when our closest relationships turn on us, well, that friend that you had that you thought was going to be with you through thick and thin, that person that you thought was going to go all the way with you, and they turn on you. Lord, when the most intimate relationships that I have turn on me and forsake me, and they're no longer there, Lord, take me up. I remember I was in college one time, and I was on, you know, playing basketball, and this one basketball team, you know, they wanted me to play on it, and another basketball team wanted me to play. And I'm not a basketball player, I'm going to be honest with you. So, you know, I don't know why anybody would want me to play on their team. But I think they just needed some more bodies. And so I chose to go play with this one team over here. And over here, this other team was a lot of my friends on this team. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. But they all turned their back on me. I mean, it was like, I said, like, wow, they ousted me. And, you know, they didn't want to come around me. They didn't want to have anything to do with me. And I just felt, you know, here's some of the best relationships that I had on this campus. And now they don't want to have anything to do with me. And I felt, man, I felt all alone. And, you know, at the time, I didn't know the Lord, so I didn't have anywhere to go. But have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like, you know, the people that were closest to you, the people who knew you, they turned on you. They left you by yourself. What a blessing it is to know that when your closest relationships turn, that you can pray to God and you can say, God, I know that you're not going to turn on me. God, I know that you're not going to leave me. And when father and mother, brother and sister, friend and foe, when they all turn on me, the Lord will take me up. I have that confidence, Lord, that you will take me up. So put that slide back up. Lord, hear me when you're going through it. Lord, hear me. Lord, don't hide your face from me. Lord, receive me. Lord, take me. When father and mother, take me in. Lord, lead me. Look what he says in verse 11. Lord, lead me. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. No, notice what he says here. He says, lead me in the what kind of path? The plain path. Well, what is the plain path? The plain path. You know what the plain path is? It's the simple path. You know, Lord, don't lead me down a complicated road where there's all kind of right turns, left turns. There's this maze I got to go through. Lord, lead me down the simple path. And you know why he said, lead me down the simple path? Why? Because of what? My enemies. Because if the Lord got me bobbing and weaving around all kind of paths, then I don't know what's lurking around this corner or around that corner. But Lord, if you lead me down the simple path, I can see them. And I know how to deal with them. And so when we go through times of derailment, we need to ask God to lead us. We need to ask God to guide us. Lord, I got this bill that I got to pay. I have no earthly idea where this money is coming from. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Lord, I'm dealing with relationships with a bunch of knuckleheads. Lord, lead me. Lead me. I like the song. Lead me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Guide me by thy powerful hand. We got to pray. God, lead me. Lord, lead me down the plain path. Lord, I'm looking. My enemies are all around. Lord, I'm in the middle of this maze. Lead me, Lord, down the plain path. And then, finally, deliver me. Whatever my situation is, whatever I'm going through, Lord, I pray that you would get me through. Lord, that you would get me through. And sometimes deliverance is not necessarily, watch this now, don't miss, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating, that sometimes deliverance is not necessarily getting out, but it's getting through. Sometimes deliverance is just getting through. You know, that you're going to make it to the other side, but you got to get through. And so he says, Lord, deliver me. Look at verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Man, they want to devour my life. They want to tear me up. Lord, I pray that you deliver me. And then we see, finally, the courage to overcome the derailment. The courage to overcome the derailment. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, it's interesting because NIV, I believe, in other translations, at verse 13, where it says in the King James, I had fainted. Some of you might not have that in your Bible. And so it said that, you know, that phrase right there is not in some of the earlier manuscripts. And so it's not in there. So some people say, well, how did that get in there? You know, and the translators, you know, because if you pick it up, look after that. Look what it says. It says, unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, you know, without something before that, that's hard to understand. And so it's assumed that the psalmist would have fainted, would have died, unless God intervened, unless God broke in on his circumstances, unless God came in and intervened in what he was dealing with, that he would have fainted, that he would just gave up. He said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see, unless I had hope that God was going to make things better, that God was going to make this situation right. And so I had to keep up my courage. And that's when he goes to verse 14. And he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, look, keep that verse up there. Go back to that verse. Because I'm going to show you something. The word wait in the Hebrew, you know what it is? Strengthen. It means to strengthen. The word courage in the Hebrew, you know what it means? It means to strengthen. And then we see the word strengthen again. So three times in this verse, it's all about what? Strength. It's all about you having strength through your situation. Now go to that next slide. The word wait, the Hebrew word kaval, means to bind together like a cord. It refers to the individual strands being woven and twisted together to make a cord. So when you start out with one cord, it's pretty weak. You can snap that. But if you begin to twist more and more cords together, what do you get? You get strength. You get strength. That's the Hebrew word there. I'm getting ready to show you something now. Don't miss this. He said, wait. Right? And when he said, wait, what is he saying? Bound those cords together. Like oh, man. Oh. Prayer is one cord. Get into my Bible. That's another cord. Get into a Bible study. That's another cord. Sing some praise and worship music. That's another cord. Get involved. Come to the house of the Lord and worship. That's another cord. Get with some brother or sister in Christ and fellowship and iron sharpening iron. That's another cord. So when he says wait, he's just not talking about, oh. That's not what he's saying. When he says wait, he means that in the waiting, you're getting stronger. You're getting stronger. That's why in Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, I remember I did a sermon on the eagle. And one of the things that I learned about the eagle is that the eagle's a bad boy. You know that? The eagle, man, the eagle blows my mind. Eagle can be way up in the sky and see a fish and zoom down from hundreds, thousands of feet, come down and scoop up that fish. I mean, that's how. And so a lot of people, man, are afraid of eagle can come and pick up a small animal. So people are afraid of the eagles. But you know what happens to the eagle? Sometimes the eagle's feathers get matted and they get dirty. And according to this one study I did, what the eagle will do is the eagle will come down and dive into the water and keep diving until its feathers, its old feathers, begin to fall off. Now, suppose I was a porcupine, right? And I was afraid of the eagle. Now, the eagle don't have any feathers. He can't, hey, there goes that eagle that got me. Let me go get that eagle. But the eagle is smart. What does the eagle do? The eagle goes and gets away, hides away. Until what? Until the feathers start growing again. He can't do anything. He can't do anything about his situation. He can't do anything about his circumstances. The only thing he can do is what? Wait. But while he's waiting, the feathers are growing again. He's getting stronger. He's going to be back up in the sky, looking down, terrorizing other critters. And that's what the psalmist says, that when you go through a hard time, when you go through a time of derailment, he says, wait. Just go somewhere and get strong. Go somewhere and grow. Go somewhere and allow yourself to be ministered to, so that even though I'm waiting, I'm still growing. Even though I'm waiting, I'm still getting strong. And that's how you can make it through a derailment.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Alternatives to Losing Your Mind from Psalms 34. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What to Do When Life Derails You, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What to Do When Life Derails You. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What to Do When Life Derails You. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website at anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.